Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. As the host of the program, I have the privilege of being with you as we share together from the Word and as we interview guests and talk together. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of North and Baptist Bible College, is normally with us, but again today is out on a ministry venture. We are continuing our discussion with a good friend of both Dr. Olala and myself, Evangelist Kevin Brownfield. And Kevin, you've been so gracious to be with us, and it's been neat to hear the story of your life a little bit and to hear what God's been doing in your ministry. And you've been taking us through the life and ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Boy, what a journey that's been.
It's been a great journey for all of us. And just to stop and remember what God has done, to me, it's so significant to remember the things. And I think that's why God set up for Israel reminders so that they would never forget what God had done, so that they would have great confidence in what God can do. And I think it's very good for us to remember what God did in England in those days so that we can be encouraged that God can do the same thing here.
Right. And Spurgeon was able to accomplish a great deal for God without compromise.
That's exactly right. But, you know, a lot of people, when they start talking about Spurgeon, there's a little bit of a misnomer that Spurgeon loved life and he was a man who was so vibrant in ministry, and he was all of those things. But most people don't really understand that his whole life in the ministry was surrounded by controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And theological controversy that was swirling around him. And no matter how big the swirl of controversy was, Spurgeon continued to simply do what God had called him to do.
You know, it's interesting because I think sometimes in ministry today, a lot of times the church will go through a time of controversy like this, and people will immediately assume there's something wrong with the church.
Yes.
And that's not the case all the time.
No.
And I think Spurgeon's ministry confirms that.
It surely does.
Because Spurgeon ended up, I think you were telling me, he had several periods of controversy. I mean, we've looked at the beautiful ministry that God gave Spurgeon, the exciting dynamic side, you know, 19 years of age, comes to be the pastor, sees all of these people converted. I mean, literally thousands come to know the Lord. I mean, that church exploded. He was speaking regularly to 10,000 people on Sunday morning. I mean, unbelievable success. But we forget that in the midst of all of that, when there's a great work going forward for God, Satan makes sure there's going to be serious opposition.
He surely does. I've been studying through the book of 2 Corinthians, which has so reminded me of the harder side of the ministry, because in 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his apostleship. He has literally been skewered by the Corinthians, who he had poured his life into and had given so much, and yet they had turned around and shot him in the back. And Spurgeon found that to be true as well in the ministry. And just stop and think about a 19-year-old young man who is just in the ministry and who is preaching at this church, and it's not long before the very first wave of controversy surrounds you that was really what Ian Murray called the hyper-Calvinism controversy. And Spurgeon became a very hot topic in London because...
So his first controversy was over the whole issue of Calvinism and the whole concept of who you could preach and extend an invitation to accept the gospel.
Exactly. And it was a very fiery trial, so to speak, a fiery baptism into the ministry. And Spurgeon was, on one hand, people gave him accolades, but on the other hand, people tore him to shreds every way they could. He became, I think, quite frequently a topic in other men's messages, and people would use his name in a very degrading way and use his ministry or make reference to him, maybe not by name, but everyone knew who was being talked about, because Spurgeon believed, as the scripture says, and it's such a struggle even in our time, people get more educated than God because they believe that you can go on one side of the coin or the other, and they say that it's all of the sovereignty of God and forget all about the responsibility of man. And therein lies the balance of this man of God who simply understood that it was no contradiction in the mind of God.
Yeah, I think part of the secret to Spurgeon was that he refused to deny what the scriptures stated, but he refused to go beyond what the scripture stated.
Exactly.
He based his view on the text, not on logical implications from that text.
And that is exactly what made his life and ministry so powerful, because God blesses his word, and Spurgeon's preaching ministry was simply preaching the word. Mm-hmm. And if the word of God says, whosoever will may come, then Spurgeon preached, whosoever will may come. If the word of God said, I have chosen you before the foundation of the earth, Spurgeon preached it. And there were so many in that day that could not handle this open invitation, just preaching the simple gospel to the lost.
And he didn't just lay it out there. I mean, he literally would compel people in his invitations.
He surely would compel them. And in a sense, it seems like Spurgeon sees himself as the man who is with a pitcher of water to those who are dying in front of him of thirst in almost every message I have ever read. And you can almost sense the heart of weeping and the sense the urgency in Spurgeon, because he is laying the gospel out so clearly. And, you know, I, in my own life years ago, I was kind of struggling because I had become a preacher of revival, but really didn't understand how to preach the gospel very well. And so in order to educate myself, I began to read Spurgeon messages, and it was an education on how
sure.
to preach the gospel. And it was just a phenomenal yeah. thing for
so
me.
So this controversy that exploded early on in his ministry, how did it turn out? What were the effects of it?
Well, the effects of it were Spurgeon became polarizing. It seemed like you either loved him or you hated him. And, you know, the controversy swirled for a number of years until Spurgeon enters into the second phase. And all these are outlined by Ian Murray. These are not original with me. These are all outlined in a little book called The Forgotten Spurgeon. And then he's gone back and he's dealt with this first controversy. And I believe his intention is to deal with all three of them. But the second controversy has been referred to as the Arminian controversy, in which the gospel became an issue and the dumbing down of the gospel became the predominant issue, rather than preaching those 10 black horses we talked about several programs ago and mm-hmm. preaching of the law mm-hmm. that brings the great conviction to the heart of man that he may turn in repentance because he is doomed eternally. There began to be a gospel being proclaimed that was another gospel. In reality, as I have looked at this, it seems like the same thing's kind of going on much today.
I was just going to make that observation.
It's kind of where we are today. Nothing new is under the sun, and it's almost like we're recycling through the same issues and the same controversy again. And I know as an evangelist, for me, I've gone into places and I've preached and people get mad. They literally get physically angry because you preach the truth of the Word of God, and they want it to be just a little, say a little prayer, and then everything's okay, and you can kind of go live the way you want to live, and it doesn't really matter. And in a sense, there's been a dumbing down, and Spurgeon took personally anybody who touched the gospel. If you touch the gospel, then Spurgeon, you know, that for him, that was like saying sick him to a bulldog. He wasn't going to let that go. And so Spurgeon very strongly, as a man who is now seasoned in the ministry and kind of in the middle of his ministry years, he continued, not in an unkind way, but he just continued to proclaim the truth and teach the young men in the college setting the right way of looking at truth in the gospel.
Mm-hmm. So he had the controversy at the beginning related to those who felt that his invitations were too broad, too extensive, that,
yes.
that he didn't stay with the standard. I mean, back in Spurgeon's day, in fact, the pastor, a prior pastor to Spurgeon for New Park Street Chapel was a man named John Gill.
Yes.
And if there ever was a hyper-Calvinist, it was John Gill.
John Gill was to the max.
And so Spurgeon took that congregation and moved it to a more balanced position and took flack for that.
He took a lot of flack.
And then what you're saying then is there was a second controversy
that came from those on the more Arminian side who basically faulted Spurgeon for being too Calvinistic. Is that
too Calvinistic, too rigid, preaching a gospel that was too hard and harsh? And it's like if you stop and consider the concept of the bait and switch. Mm-hmm. The bait and switch is when you read a brochure and you get an appraisal of some hotel or some place, and then you get there and find out it's not really what you thought it was going to be. And in a sense, they wanted the bait and switch. They wanted this gospel kind of preached in which you could, almost like today, then kind of educate people up into how they were to live rather than what Jesus did, which was call men and women to absolute abandonment to the cross and to himself. And that's the way Spurgeon preached. He preached absolute abandonment to the cross of Jesus Christ, and people didn't like that. That's not a popular message today, and there was a period of time it wasn't a popular message then.
So Spurgeon, for all practical purposes, basically had a middle-of-the-road, balanced position.
And that's basically, if you look at his life, that's the way he lived. He lived his life in a balanced way. He preached the word. He let the word speak for itself. And if you do that, you're going to have a balanced ministry.
Mm-hmm. What about the third controversy?
You know, a lot of people have said that it's the third controversy that actually took his life. I've read several statements because he became so emotionally drained and so emotionally gripped. The third controversy has often been called the downgrade controversy or the downgrade. And what happened was it came from a series of articles written by one of Spurgeon's closest friends by the last name of Schindler. He wrote these articles and talked about how Christianity was on the downgrade. And the reality is it came out of the Arminian controversy. And so this downgrade controversy, how things were on the skids and the slide, and Spurgeon began to pick up the banner and began to hold up the banner of truth and began to deal with these. And it became so divisive that the Baptist Union that he had actually helped in not only the forming but the leadership of and some of the many ways of expanding it actually ended up censuring him. And that so deeply wounded Spurgeon, I don't know that he ever got over it, because to him, it was the last nail in the coffin for what God was doing in England.
And for those of you listening, we hope that this series of broadcasts on the life of Charles Spurgeon, really a man for his time, has encouraged you to become that kind of a man in your time, that the Lord would use you and direct you to leave a heritage for your children and grandchildren, and that you would be the man of faith in the midst of controversies, even as Spurgeon was. For those of you who pray for us regularly, we are deeply grateful. For those of you who support us, we thank the Lord for you. And for those of you who are planning to send a donation in this month for a gift of $10 or more, as a token of our appreciation, we'd like to send you a copy of Dr. Les Olala's newest publication, a little booklet entitled Developing a Biblical Worldview. Thank you for listening today, and we'll look forward to being with you again for the next broadcast of the Word for Life radio ministry.